Previously on X-Men.
Supplemental episode or digital episode, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Today it is Zilla Rocka, Curly Castro, and the one and only Open Mike Eagle.
Yo, yo.
And we are doing an X-Men State of the Union.
Oh, I'm excited.
You know, we got to talk about the X-Men's going on. Anybody out there that's a mutant purveyor knows that us three in particular, and us in general, our crew, we very much like the mutant arts. We all feel we are mutants in ourselves, and so we've been following X-Men since we were little wee tots. Okay, so we're very comic book addled. We read omnibuses, watch cartoons.
It's true.
Watch all of the movies.
Read omnibuses. Yeah.
Yes, right, right. Watch like four Dark Phoenix sagas. How many Dark Phoenix sagas? We've watched four. Oh. It's been four. Because you had one in the comic, two in the movies, and one in the cartoon.
I'm a little burnt out. I could, like a 5-year break. Just no more Phoenix. I know.
I finally read the actual Phoenix saga in the comics this year. I'd never read it before.
I read it back in the day. Yeah, yeah.
I finally read it.
Because first of all, it's so Hellfire Club-ish. Like, people got to know there's so much Hellfire Club in the thing with your man Mastermind, and she's wearing the bouffant, like, hairdos and shit like that.
Yeah. He got her hair fucked up.
He did. She was wearing the and mind you, I'm like 11 or 9, if I'm not mistaken, and she's wearing the corsets. And remember, Hellfire Club was very S&M. They used to let it ride. Like, a lot of cinched up women there, whatever.
When her hair was fucked up, she was calling Storm her slave.
Oh no!
Oh,
see?
Yes,
go
man.
In.
Oh,
they go in. They go in.
That shit was out of control.
Okay,
so we're gonna start with So right now in the comics, we are coming to a very somber time. Unfortunately, Zilla is more active. I live vicariously through him because I actually stopped buying physicals. Zilla kept on with the digitals, and we just collaborate just to keep ourselves abreast. Krakoa Age is coming to an end.
Oh boy.
Now, does anybody agree with me? This is the best age of X-Men ever. As old as
I'm
we
on
are.
Board, totally on board.
Okay. When you say age, though, like, do you count? So you read Grant Morrison's New X-Men? You read that?
Yes.
Which one is that? That's the one with black and white.
2000.
After the movie,
yeah, leathers
came out.
Like around the movie. Yep.
And they're wearing the leathers and stuff. Yeah, Zorn. Yes, I dabbled. I definitely dabbled.
Okay, so I read that whole thing. I don't know if I can say that this era's better than that. Even though, like, he only did that was like a couple of years, probably, right? Like, all told.
Was like, the Grant Morrison, were the seeds of that Hickman brought back, or was that the Bendis stuff? Remember Hickman brought back a couple of, I think it was the Bendis stuff. He brought back some unpopular stuff.
He brought back a little bit of everything.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He brought back a little bit of everything.
Right.
But the whole thing with the extinction and on Genosha, where millions died because Cassandra of Xavier's sister. That's all from Grant Morrison's New X-Men.
Okay. That's serious. Yeah. And if anybody's familiar with the New Krakoa Age, that there's a panel that shows all of the mutant deaths, and Xavier just had it. And it was kind of somber, and like just to see they did this, and they even had like the mutant massacre there, and they lost like I guess 40 of them down there. So we're coming to, okay, so fair enough, Mike. Fair enough. Zilla, what do you think?
I like this one only because, to Mike's point, Hickman, it was like remember the Mad Lib record where he sampled all the Blue Note shit? What was that? Shades of Blue?
Shades
or Touch of
Blue.
Yeah.
Right.
Shades of Blue, yeah.
That record is like 20 years old, but that was based on like 50 years of shit he could pull from that he had a thumbs up. So I like that album as a cheat sheet to like more jazz. Like I'll go to that before I go to Minga sometimes. I'm like, I kind of get all the shit I like from jazz that Madlib likes, and I'm into
I
it.
have a jazz cheat sheet record too. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
so
have
it's
that.
like sometimes I just want to get to that. So for me, Hickman, I like this one the best because he pulls the things that either I liked or overlooked from the last 50 years, whether even some runs that weren't the best, or even like some of the Bendis stuff or the Claremont stuff. He kind of cataloged it and was like, oh, this is kind of useful, or I'm gonna take this back that you forgot and flip it on its head, or even the Morris and stuff. But yeah, for me it's number one. I just say it's number one because I've reread it the most, even though it's a last 5 year run. Castro knows I was just in Ireland. I reread House and Powers of X again for like the third time.
Did you read
So
it in the chronological order? Did you try that one?
I've done that in the past, but because I have the app, it's a pain in the ass to have to keep closing and opening and
But
searching.
they remixed
They
on
did.
Marvel Unlimited for anybody that has that. They have a remixed version where it's all in chronological order based on Moira's lives. Like it puts the lives in order. That shit is hard. That shit is hard.
So just for the listeners, just a real quick recap, speed up
For
so I
sure.
can. So what
I'll
Hickman
run
did
off and
was
leave them. Yeah,
Hickman, what
slow me
he
down.
did was he reset the whole X-Men universe by saying that everything that we watched and encountered has happened. But Myra is immortal and she keeps resurrecting herself. Every time she dies, she restarts the timeline. So everything we watched in X-Men so far has been included in one of Moira's lifetimes. And she's also taken these drastic steps to try to make the mutants win. She gets with Apocalypse, they don't win. She gets with Magneto, they don't
Don't
win.
win.
She gets with Xavier earlier, they don't win. She tries to make a cure. Destiny and Mystique burn her the fuck alive. They don't win. So it was such an interesting plate, almost clean a slate. And the other great thing that Hickman did, and this is what me and Z very much harp on, is they got rid of that just for a while, all that super villain shit, all of the villainy mutants, come on down. And Apocalypse stepped through that portal like, I've been waiting for y'all.
Yo,
What took y'all so long? This is what
rereading
I've
it
been
again last
waiting for
week
y'all.
for the third time, and I still get goosebumps. I'm like, oh,
Yeah, it's crazy.
here it
When they walked through
is.
that gate, when Sinister and Apocalypse and Omega Red, like I don't think Omega Red was with them yet,
He
but
might have been in
like
the back and they did the art, but
Exodus is definitely there.
Exodus is in the
He's
front too.
definitely there.
Yeah, they
Exodus is in
walked
the
through
front.
that gate. It is wild as hell
Just
to see
the
that culture shift.
and them shake hands because obviously mutants, they fight battles on both ends. They fight against their own super villains, and then they fight all the humans and all that shit. And it was just time for them to be like, you know what? We're literally the most powerful creatures on the planet. Let's stop effing around and exert some social dominance. And that's what they did.
That's
They created these gates, they created these medicines, and overnight, the world had got new gods. And just like Trump's and response to Barack Obizi, Orcus was created. And this is one of the most horrible organizations ever. Just a real quick for the listeners, they took a mutant and sliced off her skin to try to spread out her probability powers and to disguise themselves from Halo jumping into Krakoa. So
That shit was great.
the mutants get this island and they like, yo, boom, nobody on this island but mutants.
It
Okay.
was tight too how they created Orcus by putting together
The
all of the
disparate,
old like
yes.
science and research and defense groups. They put SHIELD and AIM and like all of these
Hammer.
people to get
Yep.
to
Alpha
make
Flight.
Orcus. And that makes a lot of sense. That makes
So
a lot of
dope.
sense.
They clicked
Just
up too. Like,
scrambling.
oh, word, you guys are gonna click up? Fuck
And
that.
now they're at the point where they're starting to get to the we gotta go, we gotta turn ourselves into machine shit, like now, just like they predicted with the other joints. And so what other the other great thing Hickman did, listeners, is he created like multi-level storylines that were happening in the present, that were happening 10 years in the future, 100 years in the future. And this is also the Moira multiple lives thing. So, long story short, this era is coming to an end. We don't know what it'll look like on the other side. They also created a whole bunch of new books. It was also like, a publishing grab, bunch of new number ones
So good.
Of
With
course.
variant covers out the ass. This was a variant palooza. I got mad enough for them joints. No, excuse me, a variant bukkake, pretty much. And I went and bought a whole bunch of the same ones, doubles and triples, and I was bothering my comic book shop. So it was just an event. And coming from a person like me that, like, I literally put down comics for like 25, 30 years. I was very
I
much into it
got
when
you
I was
back with this one. I was like,
youngster.
yo,
Zilla put me on, but I also saw the little, there was something in the air. It was something that made me pay attention again. Because I'll check in and look. And I think the last time I checked in was like Zorn stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just couldn't. It's like a running treadmill. It was very hard, especially with the way they were treating X-Men and mutants and putting it to the side with the Terrigen Mist and the humans.
Inhumans, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a running treadmill to try to jump back on. It was just moving. And I couldn't get a footing, except in this Hickman Krakoa era.
I mean, one of the best things they did when they launched Hickman's era was that they stopped publishing X-Men books altogether.
Yes, all
while House and Powers were coming out. And to this day, like, even though they saw how successful they was, they refused to do that again. like it through every era of this, like even when they're trying to shut it all down and you do like the Mirror series of. So it started out with House of X and Powers of 10, and now mm-hmm. it's all folding up with Fall of X and Rise of the Powers of 10.
Yep.
They still got like five other X-Men titles going running, the right? whole yeah. time.
Yeah, X-Men, Immortal X-Men.
Well, what they did was what the Disney Plus and Marvel got into. It's like, yo, we need to create content. So while we the hot on the stove. And so there was so many books. In fact, one of the books, I always forget this book. Like, it was that first book, either Deadly Birds or something. Remember
Fallen Angels.
Yes, and that Ball book, they cut it off at six. They was like, oh, enough.
I don't even remember that shit.
Wow. Was there's like, a story behind that now. Really? I don't know if y'all know the story behind that.
Nah. What happened? What happened?
So it's Brian Edward Hill. So this is the thing. The whole thing was supposed to be started with after House of X, Powers of 10, Jonathan Hickman was going to restart the X-Men, and it was maybe just supposed to be him doing X-Men, Percy doing X-Force, yep. and Duggan yep. doing Marauders. But they saw the numbers that House of X and Powers of 10 do, and they were like, okay, we need more comics. So then they added on Excalibur. They added on Fallen Angels. They added on
X-Factor was X-Factor, in the first one.
Exactly.
New mutants.
And so they did it, and Hickman was like, okay, that's cool, but I want to keep this all like controlled. So he ended up being like the showrunner position, and they were all like on these Zoom calls setting up that early line. Ooh. Brian Edward Hill couldn't be a part of the Zoom calls for whatever reason at that time. So he was creating his shit off on the side. Though it didn't match up with everybody else's. And that's why that shit was funky.
Yeah, it was like a dark soul mission. Yeah. Like it was Quantum. It was a Quantum book. Yeah. But it just had some other interesting characters.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good with Quantum.
And so like, yeah.
I'm gonna look this up. I never even peeped this one.
Yeah, the Fallen Angel. It was the one title I bought.
I wasn't on board with Excalibur, and I wasn't on board with this.
I bought everything.
I bought everything that first run. I got everything.
So the first five issues of everything, I bought everything. And then I made a decision of what I wanted to keep going with.
It was funny enough,
a lot of the titles would end. Yeah. So some of them would come to an end or whatever, and they would make a decision for you. And then they would come up with a little.
Okay, I'm looking at some of the covers now. Yep. Okay.
What are you looking on? What are you peeping?
I just put in Fallen Angels.
Okay.
New ones. Yep. And there's Quan on the cover holding this. Yes. Okay. I see this one. Yeah.
That's... We should have pulled up some of the lists, but yeah, it was just a lot of, and then a re-infusion of older titles. X Factor was changed all the way around. It had a great premise, but they didn't execute it right. X Factor was built because the Resurrection Protocols came. So that was another thing of the Hickman era was the X-Men were not dying in these record numbers anymore. They can resurrect. And what the X-Factor was, they were an investigative team. They went and tried to discover doubles to confirm deaths because there was one major thing about the Resurrection Protocols was we were not allowed to have two at once. And they broke that, I think. I think there's two X-23s at some point.
Yeah, X-23 and Talon. Exactly. Yeah.
So, but they were being pretty strict with that because they didn't want to mess with the virtues or whatever. And they were just like, so this one group was like, yo, go out, man, confirm these deaths, get the body. And because they didn't want the general public to know about it either.
Right.
So that was good. But then that scale, I like the artwork there. So it was giving a lot of people a lot of like, who's our guy? Who's the guy that does the great covers? Silver? Is it Silver?
RB Silva is a great artist. He does great interiors too, though, for some of the series.
I'm just saying, like, he has a lot of the classic, the big Apocalypse in the suit. No, that was the other guy. Oh, it was a bunch of great artists as well as the writers. So it was a masterful event. It's been what?
Five years,
2019.
5 years before the COVID. And again, y'all, I'm into the physical medium, so I have it blurred. But behind me is my big comic book collection and stuff like that. And
I got a strong box right here full of. There's all Claremont joints in here, but all the new ones I got digital.
Hell yeah.
Hey, I'm working, but
keep them on deck. You know what I'm saying? I know this is an audio medium, but you know what I'm saying? I keep it stacked.
We're doing video now. We're doing a little video.
Okay,
we're 5
good.
Years in, and now we're doing video.
They can peel my, look at my those, colorful look at those covers.
With the bags and back.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't make me go grab my joints.
Absolutely.
Yo. Don't make me go grab my joints. But it's
these
it's
the ones
like
I got
that.
Double of, so they're not in the box.
It's like that.
Gotta figure out how to sell them.
Like that. don't you gotta get don't you gotta send your books off to get them that
graded?
I don't know. I just started looking.
I don't like that.
So I have no
why
idea.
Are you taking my book? What if you switch it out for like your copy? You know what I'm saying? Like, I got
plus
some...
it costs money yeah, to grade them. So I don't know.
Wait, well, Mike, why don't you just sell them autographed by you to your fans for like $400? Like,
because that seems mad weird to me. I don't know if that's bit. A muscle somebody's
like
doing
like Westside Gunn. He just
does,
goes
he does
to thrift
that.
Stuff. He goes
well,
he to thrift
does,
stuff.
He, well, this
buys
is the thing.
All the
wait,
spray paints Griselda.
Hold on,
like
hold on. Let me give you the proper premise because then we have to move to the next segment. So what he does is because he's that fashion maven, we know he is. He's probably one of those people that wore things once and that was mm-hmm. it. So he has all of this old wrestling ephemera and paraphernalia yeah. of
like
old
the graphic
things.
Print tees, WCW
yeah, like from back
shit.
In the day, Dudley Boys,
but he'll
like
do
the
it too with
the,
like 90s.
But he'll
NFL
he'll
joints.
Upurpose them, he'll upcycle right. them. Mm-hmm. He'll I put see. New print on it, restitch it a bit, put a tag on it, put the Griselda taggings and
that's hard.
187 and stuff on the back, yeah. puts Arabic on it, and right. then resells them. And they go like,
I don't know how to do that with a comic book. One of one. And I don't feel like my signature would be
that valuable.
X41 signed by Open Mike Eagle.
Yeah, see, my thing is like, it feels strange to me. I read all my comics, and even in the 80s, there was nothing in me to say, okay, as soon as you get it thrown into a plastic and seal it for like 40 years, I'm going to read them. They're going to have bends. Right. You're going to have fingerprints on them. Like, I don't know what else to do. So I'm hoping that the industry allows you to sell ones that have been read. Like, that's part
they
of
do. They do. People buy them. I buy all of my, like, all of the ones that I have. I buy them back stock at comic book stores. Like, people, like, there's an economy of people just buying them and reselling them gotcha. Without the grading, you know?
Nice.
I like that. But anyway, we're saying, so now I think within these next couple of months is the literal end of the Krakoa
yeah,
age.
I think what, X-Men 35? I think that's the last one.
Which is, but it's really, it's X-Men 700 or something like that.
Yeah,
it's
they
like,
say yeah. the legacy number 700.
Yeah, so 700, but it's X-Men 35, and it's a giant, great cover. I think Arby Silva even did the cover. I'm a big fan of his. Him yeah. And Marty Gracia colors.
Yeah.
That's the combo. Yeah. Oh, my God. And yeah. so, coming to an end, we were really happy. They brought me back into comic books. I'm trying to tell y'all what kind of astronomical event that was because I was so far removed. I was definitely still into it. I would follow a lot of Instagram accounts showing like old Colossus and get excited and stuff like that. And then that leads us into the next segment. So not only did X-Men bring itself back from the dead, as everybody remembers, they were trying to kill him off
right.
because of the way the movies were and stuff like that and who had mm-hmm. property rights. They resurrected X-Men animated series as X-Men 97. Gentlemen, so from when you heard it was announced, which is like 2-3 years back,
right,
to when you first saw the first couple of episodes, what was your expectations met, and how did you feel when you first heard it was coming, and then when you finally saw it?
I thought it was weird when they first announced it, because okay. like just knowing that they had those X-Men properties after all of these years, and at the time, like, it's like, you know, WandaVision happening and all that stuff, and so we waiting for them to pop up in the movies or get a television show or something like that, like to be in the MCU proper. So then the first thing they announce is a rebooted cartoon from the 90s. I'm like,
good
what
point.
The fuck is this? I
good
can't
point.
I don't know what the fuck to do with this.
Wait, after they gave us the multiverse where they gave right. us Multiverse Professor X, they did give us
yes
that.
Yeah, yeah, and if you remember in WandaVision, the Quicksilver
cameo, was more of an like, X, yes.
Yeah,
we thought X-Men. We thought it was over right then. We was like, sure. okay, Wolverine's coming next, right?
Yep, right. That's the next one. He thought he's going to be in a suit with a pocket square. Yes.
Yeah. So you know, at first, I didn't know what to make of it, so I wasn't super excited about it. I think it wasn't until the trailer came out when I was like, okay, I'm kind of into this, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it was just the joy of seeing like my favorite characters doing some new shit,
right?
And then after watching it, I'm just completely in. I haven't seen the most recent episode yet, cool. but I've just been completely down with it.
Yeah,
I agree. I didn't know what to expect. I can't remember. Well, they put the comic out first of the 90s X-Men.
Oh, they
so
did.
They
okay.
put that out okay. when they were doing. I forget when it came out. It's called X-Men 92. I think it is.
Yeah, the Steve Fox joint.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So that came out, and I was like, oh. In my mind, I'm like, oh, the show is just gonna be this. But they're just going to call it X-Men 97. And so when you watch it, yeah, it does pick up after the regular show ended. Like they're not going back to like Age of Apocalypse and Phoenix and all that shit. But for
no,
me,
I think
it's
there's
like,
some continuity. I think a lot of they bring
right,
up
but I'm
stuff
saying
that
like
happened
they're
in the
not
first.
they're still not like just regurgitating like the same
No,
five
no.
stories they've done in all these properties. But for me, it's more the acknowledgement. Like to Mike's point, like they announced it, but then you know we have to watch all the other shows, and they have varying levels of intrigue and entertainment. But now it's like prime time where, you know, like Castro, me, you, and Brian, especially me and Brian Ennals text about this all the time. It's like Marvel's like, okay, we're just gonna fucking give you what you want. All right, we've been fucking around with Ant-Man 3 and fucking Echo and Eternal. You don't want this shit. We tried to make it happen. It's not working. No one wants the Marvels. It's just gonna be fucking Fantastic Four, Deadpool, and X-Men. And like we're like, yes, please. Like that's all we want. Don't do this.
There was a desire to organically roll them into the story, and because they started everything without them, it became tricky on
right.
how to get them.
But
in.
Again, to Brian's point, and he's correct, once Endgame's over, you just reboot the whole fucking thing. And you just start over. You don't have to keep
but we
the
understand
same
that
story
that's what it,
going.
That's what people in the studios and general public don't understand comic book economy.
Well, I get
they
it, but
reset,
I'm saying like
you know,
the Disney Plus, I think it's the Disney Plus economy is what made them have to keep
okay.
churning it. To
yeah,
your point about
first, yeah.
we need to keep cranking these
they
things
were,
out, coming off the biggest event
down.
In the world.
Yeah.
To because we have this new platform. So now we need 10 stories with Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision, She-Hulk.
They don't get the slack for it, but Star Wars threw out a lot of shows too. There's
there
a lot
go.
Of
like,
Star
yes,
Wars.
I'm not
material.
A Star Wars guy,
but
it's
over,
like
compared to like
it.
The last 20 years of
cranking
Star Wars,
it.
There's so much more Star Wars material
right.
now because of
every
Disney.
Year versus yeah. like waiting 5 years. So right. I think this X-Men 97 is just like a cool low stakes, letting you know like, hey, this shit is now from the back burner to like the front burner on low. It's not just the fact that we're moving it up. That and the Fantastic Four, and I imagine Deadpool with Wolverine is gonna officially throw it in there. So. I feel like this is all smart, like course
but it's
correction.
It's still satire for me. I don't know why they made it, because they made it such a big deal. I take it as a big deal. Like I don't like multiverse shit. I don't want the dimensions blending and then people just walk in. Here's Wolverine walking through a portal.
Yeah, well, they're
like,
definitely going to do that.
That's guaranteed.
No, they, well, you know what it was? They tested us with Spider-Man. They
yeah.
tested us how we feel about somebody stepping
it.
Through a portal. You
right.
see his world behind him, and now he's here. And they tested Damn. Us. There's something that goes on with that with the Krakoa Age. Rasputin, right?
Right.
She's from the future, and they bring her over, right?
Yeah, she's one of Sinister's.
Sinister's Chimera.
Right,
but
yeah.
she originally was in a future.
From
thing,
X-1000.
So, right, so right. that's fine. That's Rachel Summers. That's the classic one. She's
yep.
in a whole other timeline. We never see her parents ever again. We never see her timeline ever again, if y'all remember, because
right.
they fixed it. So, but they snatched her through. So, yes, they've done it a million times. I'm still not a fan. I'm not always a fan of it, but. That's what's going
on. It fucks up storytelling. And I think to some degree, like it worked with Loki too.
Oh, yeah,
right?
That was nice. But he was in the margins at that point, right? They were making him in the margins. He
yeah, but but that's if you look at the main storyline we've been following at the MCU, you know, WandaVision and Loki were really the only threads that kept that going. Like,
yes.
you know what I'm saying? They
yes.
they were the follow ups to the thing that we've been following. So that position knows is like these are the important ones, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you do that in Loki, where you got not only Tom, just like a bunch of Tom Hiddleston, just also all these different other fucking people, these mm-hmm. whole other like animals and shit that Loki and kids is Loki. It's like
yep.
fuck, this is too much because it's like if you open up the doors like that, it's like. Now you got too many options.
Good call.
And then you're able
now
to disappoint us by the options you actually choose.
Good call. Yes.
Because they go to Shang-Chi and other things. But you're right. It's too many options. They're like, hey, look, we got a lot of dice to roll. Let's roll all of them.
Yes.
And instead of
less
but
is
and also,
more.
But they never had the formula. See, Iron Man, Thor, those were like backwards properties. It's not like they were really set like,
yeah.
yo, it's going to work.
Those were properties all these studios said no to for 30
years.
So they
like,
we don't
they
want
tried
that
to
shit.
Do it again.
Right.
Echo, what up,
Eternals,
Ghost, Ant-Man,
shit, yeah.
Eternals. Like, hey, let's right. roll out another bunch of wacky off-brand products and see if we can
well,
just
and honestly,
it.
Too, like we haven't said is like the Black Panther thing fucking destroyed them.
Yeah.
He was going to be the next front and center.
Guy. He was supposed to be the next Captain America for the next three,
Everything.
Five movies. Because
right.
he was already appearing in multiple movies. Remember, he was in Cap.
Fucking cultural phenomenon, right. So even that, so it's like now you get to a stage where I think they've seen how the markets react, and it's like, eh, we're not really into this shit anymore. We moved on. We're into fucking Barbie, Oppenheimer, more other things now. Like even Dune 2 doing really well. It's
Or
like,
just Invincible and other cartoons and the
right,
boys
like there's
working.
just,
Like that stuff working.
yeah,
And they're
like
like, yeah, we
it
gotta get
had
in
a good run of popping all these fucking things out all the time. And now it's like, okay, Deadpool and Wolverine trailer has like the most views ever in a X amount of day span.
here.
People reacting to that. They're not gonna give a fuck about
You know, I'm not
Eternals.
even a super fan of Deadpool, but I know what the work it does and I know the money it generates.
Yeah, and that's gonna be, I mean, they're pulling in every single person, like Elektra, you know, Jennifer Garner, all these motherfuckers from every bad movie is gonna be in this thing.
I just hope they know that we want the story to continue. Like, I think that, like, to me, that's the big miscalculation of all of this shit is like they thought they could treat the TV and film properties like they treat the comics, where they can just put out 35 comics a month and people really only give a shit about seven of them, you know, like, and they have the whole wall in a comic book shop filled with all these other characters that nobody gives a shit about. It's like they felt like that content was going to work the same way in TV film, and it doesn't. When it comes to the MCU, everybody got invested when they weaved them all together into a big story that we could follow. You know what
But
I'm
there's
saying?
that big scare of working with these superhuman superpower things is like too many powers on screens at once. It
But
first was the
shit, the
tech. I
biggest
know, I
movie
agree
of
with
all
you.
time is the
But
one
it
with
was
the
a
most
technology thing, but that's
houses.
what they
Like,
always back off when it's like, hey, we got three flyers, we can't have five. But you're right, when they showed everything on screen and
and
let
but
you figure it
honestly,
out.
that's not even really my point though. Like, I just because and I just I think it's so important to make this clear, because it's like I'm always hoping motherfuckers is listening, but like it's not necessarily that you got to have everybody involved. But it's like every piece of media needs to be part of telling the story of what's going on in the MCU. Like, it can't be a bunch of off-brand shit that don't matter.
Yeah,
Because
hundred
why am I
percent.
gonna stop doing what I'm doing to go watch some shit that don't matter?
Thank you.
It has to be sequential. And but when the MCU first ran their TV shows, they existed with a dichotomy. The movies were doing well, and the TV shows, the first couple of seasons of those shows were doing well. And even in the sense of becoming cultural phenomenons, like Luke Cage was blowing it out the
Oh,
water
like
with the
Netflix
Method
era, you mean?
Man and all that stuff.
Hell
Yeah,
yeah.
the early
Daredevil.
shit. Yeah.
Okay.
Because remember, they were running parallel to each other, but they promised us that it would weave in, like Mike is saying, but they didn't.
Right.
They never brought in, like,
Yeah,
even
Jessica
Rhodey
Jones,
to
nothing. Right.
somebody to pop in, like, you know what I'm saying? But
Right.
they're in the
But
same
at
spaces.
least in the Netflix universe, they weave that together in and of
Yeah,
itself
like remember like
to
Turk?
reward your investment
Yeah,
for
like
paying
Turk
attention
would
to
always
that.
pop up, and
Turk was
then
a recurring character.
what was the lawyer's name? I forget her name now.
Oh, Hogarth.
Yes, she would pop up
Yeah, she
in all of
was.
them shits, burned walls.
They were
Yeah.
trying. They were trying.
But
But
even
you
with
could
that,
tell
we
they were
learned,
different
like,
studios.
you know, I remember to you back then, I was like, yo, like, I love it, but it's like 12 hours is a lot of fucking time with the Punisher. Like, that's a lot. There's
We
only
got
but
two
so many
seasons, right?
times people be
We got
like,
two
Frank,
seasons,
you
right?
know, yeah, he's in, they're filming now with Daredevil. I saw the clips of him with Charlie Cox on
Oh, he's
the
on Born
Daredevil
Again?
Born
They brought
Again.
him back
Yeah.
to Born Again? Okay.
Right. But like, so they're refining everything, but I think back
If it
to
ain't
the
broke.
X-Men discussion. I think the X-Men 97 is really fun just because it's like, hey, we're just having a good fucking time. It's not
Yeah.
connected to anything.
It's
If you
not.
love X-Men from back in the day in the 90s on Fox, you could jump right back in.
They brought
If
back
your
some of the
kids,
same voice actors and
yeah, like if your
some passed
kids
away,
want
but
to
they
be
brought
into
back the
it,
voices.
they can hop into the colors. And it really runs counter to the MCU. It's like everything's colorful. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like,
it
it's
really
yeah.
does.
We're having a good fucking time. All right, we got the 10-minute bell.
I see
Castro.
that. All right. So pretty much like rolling into our last final segment, what do we think is the prospects of the MCU emergence of mutants and the X-Men? What do we think that's going to look like? We already got a little taste of that with the Beast appearance at the end of Ms. Marvel's. That was a dimension thing. We got another taste of that in Doctor Strange with the Professor X actually showing up and Mr. Fantastic. So, you know, what do we think it's going to look like? Just a little bit more of that, or is
So
it going to
one of the things that I picked up on, and I don't know how true this is, but this was widely reported maybe a year ago, that it came out that part of the reason why every time they showed an X-Men character, it was the same actor as the Fox movies, was because when Fox got bought by Disney, that was in all of those actors' contracts, was that they couldn't be recasted till like 2025. And
Oh, so it was a
so they
time
were
stamp on
locked
it.
into using all of these people, if they wanted to use them at all.
Interesting.
Oh, because we
Hence
also have the
Kelsey
Deadpool scene.
Grammer. Kelsey
Yeah,
Grammer is Beast.
we also have the Deadpool scene where they're in the foyer and they're not supposed to be there, and it's like five or six of them
Yeah.
from first class.
James
Yeah,
McAvoy. Yep.
the
So
other
it's,
Beast, I hate him. He's in
yeah,
it.
he
Yeah.
sucks.
So, you know, like, I think if that's true, then that means the only way they can really do it is with this kind of multiverse stuff, because they have, like, if they want to bring these characters in now and they have to be those actors, it's the only way it makes sense to try to smash the universe together somehow.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, but that's if that's true.
Okay. Well, first things first, they got to really recast Cyclops and get it right. Enough is enough. If anything from the X-Men 97, the way he jumps out the plane and lands with the optic blast, he's wilding in this series. And I love it.
It's great. It's fantastic.
It. Cyclops was right. It's time for a redemption of Cyclops. Stop playing with us, yo. And it's good with the cartoon because Professor X is not here. That's when Cyclops gets the most confused. Yep. And muddy is when Professor X is saying his nonsense.
He's like, no, Scott, show restraint.
If
show
anybody understands us on this podcast, Professor X is a loony. He's a loony. He's even acting loony now with his Eminem beard.
Wilding.
In the comic book.
Wilding in the comics.
Super right wilding right now. We don't fuck with Xavier in no sense as y'all think. Yes, he started this, so we give him props like that. He's like Suge before he got arrested. But now we don't roll with him. Don't roll with him now. If anybody say we roll with Cyclops, we roll with Magneto.
Yes.
Okay.
We even sat
and listened with the Phalanx got to say just for a second, but no Charles
stresses me out.
He does.
What do you think the movie
is going to look like?
I think with Deadpool again, it's going to be a fun, zany way to say goodbye to everything from the, you know, the Robert Downey and Chris Hemsworth, all that shit. I think it's just going to use Deadpool, and Deadpool in the comics is does that. He goes, he kills the universe, he kills the creators. Like, it's a fun fourth wall breaking meta thing that he's done in the books where he resets shit and fucks everything up. There's even like the Secret Wars with Deadpool they put out a few years back where like there's his vantage point of when he was there and you didn't see him the whole time and he got to be handsome as shit. So I think they're gonna have fun with that, and it's the biggest property. And then in the 2025, which is Fantastic Four and X-Men and beyond, like, just rock with this. We don't need much else. And if you want to reboot those characters, or if you want to keep Tom Holland going, people love Spider-Man, cool. I just think they've realized, like, the DC model, even though DC's made duds, the DC model works, where they're like, we just give you Batman, we do great animated shit, and then we'll take shots here and there with Wonder Woman and all these other things, but, like, we know what people really want, and we're going to put all our attention into that. And we're going to kind of scale back while overloading on like the Peacemaker show and now the Penguin show. But they didn't do 10 shows. You see what I'm saying? Like, they were like, okay, Penguin's tied to Batman. Peacemaker is fucking Cena and James Gunn. Cool. So I think they like
the new Joker coming too.
Yeah, like, Joker, right. People year. Fucking Joker's the
musical.
Most, he's the most popular villain ever. So like, okay. And the first one won an Oscar. So it's like, okay, people like Joker. We'll make another one. That's it. They're not like, okay, we're going to do a Riddler movie. No, no one wants the fucking Riddler. No, never. No one wants that shit. So I think now they're realizing, like, Disney MCU, like, okay, we gave it a shot. We tried it. Very middling results sometimes. People been wanting this shit. To Mike's point, in 2025, hopefully, if that rumor's true, we could just go full bore, put all new folks in, get Cyclops in. I remember a couple of years ago, I tweeted something about Cyclops being my favorite X-Man. People were getting at me. Oh, he's a fucking cornball. You're a dork. Why would you say that?
Even the passerby thinks Cyclops is something. Like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah, I was like, come on, man.
He's literally the greatest X-Men.
Fucking James Marsden killed our whole shit.
He's the logo. He's like Jerry West. Like, Cyclops is the logo. Like, and we're like playing around with him. But yeah, that's the taint of them those, you know, the horrible parts of the movies. Because the movies had a lot of great in them, but a lot of bad in them. And then the second Cyclops was worse. He was a wuss.
Oh, he was corny.
He was he was younger, so they made him immature and like.
But then
stuffy.
They tried to fix it in the Age of Apocalypse movie where he says something's like, he's like drops the F bomb at somebody. He's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. Like, they're in a park. I was like, what? Why is this dude popping off? He's like, get out of my way. I'll fucking kill you. I was like, all right, dude.
Did not work.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
And then another weird thing of then. You know, they're flipping him. Like, he should be in first class. It doesn't matter. They could have just made a younger one.
Well, they were like, Havoc. Havoc's the lead. Like, I love Havoc.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Weird. And I was watching clips the other day about first class, and it was like, Banshee is like, yo, he's screaming all the time. You're flying with him. He's screaming in your ear. He's screaming. I'm like, yo, he's screaming all the time. That can't be comfortable.
That dude was good though, because he was wild pasty. He was Irish very green. I was just out there, man.
And he jumped out the window. He fell. So there was little pieces, but it's time to clear the slate, get it right, And when we say get it right, we're not putting on these pressure to make this grand story. The stories are there.
Yeah, the stories are there. That's the lesson that they learned from the animated shows too, is that like you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You got 50, 60 years worth of stories that already work. You know,
plug and play.
I just hope real quick that they don't do like that. That I posted from TikTok a couple weeks back where they interviewed all these people, these showrunners from MCU, and they're like, "I never read the comics." Never read the comics. They said, "Don't read it." I don't read. I'm like,
oh. I will say this. I hope all those quotes were born out of. Yeah, they told me not to read them, but I read them anyway. Because seriously, if it's there.
Blessing and the curse of me is when I get interested in some shit, I deeply find a way to follow the business of it too. So. There's a story behind that too.
All right, we got 3 minutes, Harry. Let's do it.
When the MCU was first popping, some of the higher ups at Marvel, and this is kind of where this Ike Perlmutter, Bob Iger thing happens where like I think Perlmutter was trying to bring in Joe Quesada and all these comic book people to like help make sure that
Jeff Johns.
Yeah, like trying to help streamline and make sure that the comics and the movies were like kind of in line or on the same page. But from my understanding, the comic book people went in there and was trying to like throw their weight around. And Kevin Feige was like, get them out of here.
Because, you know, they don't got no power at Marvel. They create a character. They snatch that joy right from out.
Yeah. And so but Kevin Feige is the one that's been, he's really been putting his nose to the grindstone, learning how to make good movies for 20 years. Like he's been the one doing that. Like Quesada and them been working on comics. He's been working on movies. Yes. So like for some reason it was oil and water when they were all trying to be like in the same room together. So I think Feige got Iger to take all the comic book people out of the equation.
So
there's just like these old riffs on the creative side and the business side too that make all of this shit extra complicated. And I'm just hoping there's some way to smooth all that shit out going forward.
They've been having us with the mule and the carrot. They've been dangling in front of us for years. This also started a culture of the 3 year ahead preview. Like I remember when it was like it'd be 2000. They say a movie's coming out in 2001. You're like, God damn, that's far. But now they'll tell us something's coming out in 2028. And it shows the whole grid. And you got to stay honorable to the grid. And that was the problem. The grid
correct.
We got to
win Comic Con.
The Apple thing, the Apple president, that thing was holding them up by the neck.
We did it. Power lunch break with Mike Eagle once again. X-Men.
I mean, we gotta do this more, so we can, you know, we got so much to say. We gotta do this more.
So we'll reconvene because the comic will come out, X-Men 700 and the Fall of Krakoa, and we'll see what that's looking like. The cartoon will finish. We'll talk about the end of that, the whole series, and then by then maybe we'll have more movie news. This is Call Out Culture, Call Out Cultists.
Stony Island.
Thank you. Big ups to Stony Island. Peace. Big ups, Mike. Thank you so much, brother.
Appreciate y'all.
All right. Peace.
Peace.